Blog Talk Radio.
Advisor, Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokor,
sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is critical to the very foundation of my being, my beginning, my foundation, my jumping off point, my manifestation and demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. And it is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in this existence on Mother Father Earth. I want to move forward in the material. I only have about 30 minutes here to address my subject matter. Picking up from our last show, where we sort of talked about the foundational universal law, if you will, as it relates to not only magic, but I would dare say existence unto itself. When we look over the centuries of archaeology and documentation, we find that as you go back into ancient cultures and ancient civilizations, there was indeed a deeper sense of connection with the spirit realm, our, to use a more scientific term, our connectedness to multi-dimensional space and reality. And thus, from that, our ability to manifest, most simply, magic. The saying that magic is not what it seems may be more prevalent today than in the past. Today, when one hears the word magic, one often thinks of the magician and the hat and the rabbit and the side girl who plays the assistant, if you will, the illusion of magic. And indeed, my Canadian friend Zach Mercer thought to tackle that material, that subject, when he came here to film Illusions of Grandeur. The basis of his journey was the discovery of magic. What is magic, both real, both spirit, and what that means to us, its relevance to us today. I think as society continues to make this turn away from quote-unquote organized religions, you will continue to see an increase in uptake in the desire for access to ritual magic. Now, the downfall is we live in a culture today that looks for the shortcut, that looks for the easy out, that looks for the pill, the surgical knife, the process that can eliminate the hard work, that can eliminate the damaged material, that can eliminate the aspect that we don't want to deal with or don't know how to deal with. Excuse me. I often refer to that in the context of my show as the shortcut, particularly when it relates to spirituality and religion. We've turned to the anecdotal remedy-based hoodoo practice of old, but in a very new form where we sort of address our most basic carnal, fleshly desires without ever really committing to sinking our teeth into the meat, the material that produces this result, this aspect of reality that some of us so desperately seem to seek and nurture. I have said many times before that I feed spirit, I support spirit, because that's all I know. And that's what feeds and supports me. But many people find their way to this crossroads from a diversity of paths: health issues, family crisis, personal life crisis, even loving relationships. So these laws, if you will, these universal laws of spirituality apply across the board. The desire to seek any kind of benefit, any sort of maturing in any religious or spiritual path without coming in contact with these laws, making them real to you both inwardly and outwardly, making them a part of your demonstration, is critical to not only getting what many of us say we want and seek when we come into this realm of spirit and religion, but also in gaining that connectedness, that power for yourself. But there's no shortcut. There's no way around them. Now, we've discussed the law of mentalism, the law of correspondence, the law of vibration. And let me quickly add, over the centuries, these universal laws have been, some creative license has been applied to them, and they've been toyed around with, depending on the author, depending on the publication, depending on the website, depending on the teacher, depending on where you intersect this knowledge. But the knowledge is pervasive. It just requires a little bit of study and opening your eyes to. Many of our present generation, and when I say generation, I'm not speaking of young and old or what decade you were born in, but I mean all those people who are alive right now, who make up our dichotomy, that is society, that is social media. And we see a pervasive trending right now to all things comedic, all things Egyptian, which I support wholeheartedly. I have a great deal of my foundational journey in that study. It was Egypt that opened my eyes to crystal, mineral, and stone. And not just what is surface publication, surface, easily found material, but to much deeper questions, why and the how, from the Great Pyramid to why would they even take the labor and resource to extract such preciousness from Earth and then to entomb it, supposedly for an eternity. So for me, many of my magical roots lie in the study of Egypt and comedic magical arts and sciences. I fully support that. What I'm not seeing is the commitment. I'm not seeing in a day and time where we have resources, where we have social media, where we have a means of coming together and even replicating and duplicating the necessary tools needed to become fully immersed in this practice, in this worship, in this hekka, in this magic. We're not seeing that. We are seeing, as I often say, the Orisha romance, the comedic, dyadic romance. You know, you have a favor for connectedness to, you know, a particular deity, and you sort of represent that in media, whether it's in pictures or video or text. But often what's represented in media is only a look into, one-dimensional look into some much deeper reality. And when we confront the reality, how serious are you about that practice, about that study? Where does your worship take place? Where is your altar set up? Where are you feeding these spirits? To truly get to the root, to the meat, to the substance of these traditions, criticalism has become a practice unto itself. So there are those who surfacely touch upon a few books, a few lecturers, trending topics, and believe they then know the entirety of the mysteries and secrets contained within many of these traditions, and then, you know, are further discouraged when they can't figure out why they can't bring forth manifestation from these ancient philosophies and practices in a modern world and in a modern context. So we have to look at these laws. And the next set, which are mutable laws, the laws of polarity, the laws of rhythm, and the laws of cause and effect. Now, just a minute ago, I digressed briefly about the multitude of attempts at approaching these topics, various authors, various books, various sources, and you will find subcategories, because to try and sort of rename these laws will be a difficult endeavor to pull off. For instance, on many texts, you'll find the law of knowledge, even the law of self-knowledge, both of which are rootly, deeply contained within other principal universal laws that are given a more esoteric, for lack of better words, name or titling. Particularly those immutable laws, like the law of vibration, the law of correspondence, the law of mentalism, forgive me, those laws are immutable. So when you start tweaking the titles, the subtitles, I think there is some space for that in terms of clarity. But you have to be very specific about what is being said. The law of knowledge and self-knowledge are inseparable. They don't qualify as two separate bullet points in your listing. You cannot begin to explore the realm of knowledge without not only going within and discovering self-knowledge, but also without finding your place in that truth, which is why, you know, a truth to you may not be the same truth to me, and particularly in any given moment in time or space. All things being relative, those mutable laws, we can see things differently depending on what space we're in, what dimensional mindset we're in, how we're forced to view that thing. Is it happening to someone else's child, or is it happening to my child? Is it happening to someone else, or is it happening to me? Just that simple dimensional shift, particularly with the mutable laws, changes how we view their subsequent interpretation. The law of polarity, the fourth of our list of universal laws. Everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. And space can also be interpreted by time, which has some relevance in space, in mobility. Time is definitely affected by where you are at any given moment, and movement. It is also the first of the mutable or transcendable universal laws. It means that there are two sides to everything. Things that appear as opposites are, in fact, only two extremes of the same thing. For instance, heat and cold may appear to be opposites at first glance, but in truth, they're simply varying degrees of weather. The same applies to love and hate, peace and war, positive and negative, good and evil, light and darkness, energy and matter. And these words become even more trickier when we try to apply them to religion, spirituality, and then mix a little racism in there and history in there, and you get a real convoluted mix that's hard to separate. So my attempt in addressing these universal laws is to not oversimplify, as I said in yesterday's show, but to make them easier to grasp, to interpret, to understanding, so that they can be applied appropriately. The law of rhythm, some might say vibration, but vibration and rhythm aren't entirely the same thing. Harmony speaks of something with sound, with tone, with frequency, with range, and the same could be applied to rhythm. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tide. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swinging manifests its position in time and space. The measure of the swing to the right or the left speaks a particular language. Rhythm is said to be universal, but when we look at code, at language, then that rhythm can speak very distinct messages to the person who understands the code or coding or the rhythm. We can travel a country and speak English in every state, but hear a different dialect, hear a different coding, hear a different language. And depending on the participant, in some neighborhoods, you know, the language becomes something completely different when law enforcement is on the scene. So coding, dialect, language, for me, language is a much more comfortable word, but you have to make a distinction when talking about universal law between that is rhythm, that is vibration, that is language. And then we also want to address the law of cause and effect. Every cause has an effect. Every effect has its cause. In accordance with this law, every effect you see in your outside or physical world has a very specific cause, which has its origin in your inner spiritual creative world. This is the essence of manifest power or thought power or creative visualization. Every one of your thoughts, words, actions sets a very specific tone, a very specific vibration, a very specific rhythm, a very specific effect in motion, which will come to materialize over time. To become the master of your destiny, you must master your mind, for everything in your reality is a mental creation. Know that there is nothing like chance or luck or happenstance when you're operating in the realm of magic, and even in the realm of spirituality and religion. I think, however, religion asks for more faith, sometimes even faith without questioning, whereas magic, ritual, tends to have some access, resource to an answer by way of these universal laws. which is why I say it's critical that they be a part of your awareness, your language, your understanding as you traverse any path into a magical ritual religion or spiritual path. I want to apologize for the background noise. You know, sometimes I get complaints, even in my YouTube videos, about what people hear in the background. I live in New Orleans, people. I live between Congo Square and the French Quarter. So if you're not hearing music, you're hearing music, you're hearing music, you're hearing jazz, you're hearing the brass band. You know, you might hear anything in the background here, no matter where I am. So I apologize when I am in a situation where I cannot control background noise. I'm also quickly running out of time, which happens when you're only doing a 30-minute show. So I apologize for that. I am going to go quickly to my phone line, area code 402. Your hand is raised. Did you have a question or comment?
No, I did have a question earlier, but that's all right. I was just listening to what you said, and I appreciate you sharing the knowledge. But I can't control the noise here. My son is blasting his music.
Okay, so you understand. Yes, indeed. Well, I certainly appreciate you for being present. I always appreciate all of my listeners, both live, those who are in the chat. Forgive me if I haven't actually been in the chat, but the chat is open today. I do appreciate those of you who sat through the chat with me and those who listen to the show in archive and also in the social networks. I most certainly appreciate you. Again, right now I am doing shorter shows only because my schedule is so overwhelming. I'm due to be at Earth Odyssey in the French Quarter momentarily, so I am going to have to move forward. And we are still filming Roots in New Orleans. The remake of the TV series Roots will be filming until December. Of course, we're filming NCIS New Orleans Season 2. I've gotten some really good cameos. Season 2, as I did in Season 1, so I invite you all to please watch the show. We appreciate those of you who watch the show and who let me know that you actually see me in the show. I have an Abita, A-B as in boy, A-B-I-T-A, Abita beer, which is a world-famous, historic Louisiana brand of beer, and it comes in various flavors, amber and vanilla and strawberry beer. It's wonderful beer. They have a seasonal marketing promotion coming out shortly, and you'll see the Divine Prince and New Orleans Voodoo featured in that, so look for that. We just did another Popeye's chicken commercial, so look for that. So we appreciate the emphasis and the interest in New Orleans, but as I predicted before Katrina, and I'm going to say it again now before I we're going through a revival. New Orleans voodoo is now beginning to come into its own and stand on its own. We appreciate the family. We appreciate the siblings, Haiti, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Brazil, West Africa. But New Orleans voodoo is coming into its own. The time when we need outside validation now. So I appreciate all of the continued support, love, donations, listenership to Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. Let me check my calendar real quick. I should be back tomorrow at noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Bop Talk Radio, Sunday, October 11th, 2015. Remember until then that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.